This hour, the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Northwest Safe. We are live on video right now on our Twitch channel. All you have to do to watch this half hour live, I'm only going to put on the camera for a half hour. We're testing it out. Text the keyword video to 1-800-465-8770. Text the keyword video to 1-800-465-8770, and I'll send you a link so you can watch the show be performed live for the first 30 minutes. Let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
This is rather interesting, exciting, fun, concerning. Something right now is happening in West Seattle. Something that impacts absolutely every single person who's listening to me, because this is an example of what happens when politicians decide that they're going to completely ignore the pleas, the cries of their constituents. We told you 2 days ago that a community activist threatened to tow a derelict RV owned by homeless people or occupied by homeless people to the homes of council members if they don't take care of the problem. Now, in that community activist case, Ari Hoffman, friend of the show, friend of mine, he was able to get the city to finally tackle the RV problem in front of the cemetery, which he serves on the board of, and the RVs outside of his office in his neighborhood of Georgetown. But apparently he inspired some other folks, or the idea inspired some other folks to get involved, because right now there is a derelict RV sitting in front of the home of Lisa Herbold. Now, just so all of you guys know, it's her West Seattle home, not the North Bend home, which I'm told she spends a lot of time occupying, despite being a representative who's supposed to really care about and embrace the community that she represents. And what I find interesting about this RV that's filled with trash that was left in front of her home, there are a lot of blue check marks on Twitter, progressive activists on Twitter, who are really upset. They're outraged, even. A perpetually angry blogger who does such amazing work that she ends up getting sued sometimes for it. She's mad. She thinks that this is terrorizing Lisa Herbold. Other people think that this is outrageous. That's kind of weird. Why would it be outrageous? How is that terrorizing? Because this council is okay with all of these RVs lining up our neighborhoods when they're in front of our homes, in front of our places of worship, in front of our businesses. That's not terrorizing us. But the second that you put it in front of Lisa Herbold's house in West Seattle, all of a sudden, this is terrorizing her? This is dangerous? This is outrageous? That's kind of weird. That's bizarre. Because if we have to put up with it, why shouldn't you? You have a whole bunch of council members and a mayor who have completely distanced themselves from actually being impacted by this stuff. They live in neighborhoods that are untouched by the homelessness epidemic, by used needles on the streets, by human waste on the streets, by broken down, derelict, dangerous RVs parked in a spot for months and months on end. And they tell us to chill out. These are just folks who are living. They're just trying to get by. They're humans just like us. In fact, they're your neighbors, your friends, your family members who were just one missed paycheck away from landing out in this position that they find themselves in. Why are you lacking so much compassion? Okay. Why are you mad then? Why are people mad? What's the problem? What would be the problem if more RVs were outside of the homes of Lisa Herbold and Mike O'Brien and Deborah Juarez and Shama Sawant and Mayor Jenny Dirt? What would be the problem? You expect us to live in this particular type of way. You should have no problem yourself doing it, unless you guys are hypocrites. Unless you don't care about what we experience. Unless maybe you're the actual NIMBY. Because we hear that all the time being used against us, right? Not in my backyard. Okay, well, now you've got an RV in front of your home, and you're saying, not in my backyard? People have reached a point where they're desperate. Eric lives very close to Lisa Herbold. He spoke with our sister station, Kyle Radio, on the Dory Monson Show, saying, we've reached a boiling point.
Everyone I know has been complaining about the same thing, just tired of it. And our voices aren't heard at all. And even the city council meetings, they don't let any of us speak there.
They don't let him speak. They don't let him speak. And so now this happens.
I actually wish they put a sign on the front and explained what it was here for. But, you know, it is tough for the rest of the neighbors. But, you know, as a neighbor here myself, I don't object to this at all. And I wish they'd do it elsewhere.
Here's where I am. I would prefer that this not happen. I would. I would prefer that this not happen. I would prefer that we didn't have to get to a point in which we felt like we needed to do this. But you know what? Unfortunately, we're at that position. And this is not a Seattle story. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, look at the craziness that happens in Seattle. This isn't a Seattle story. It's just a story that right now is taking place in Seattle. But isn't this a message to absolutely every single council member, county or city, every mayor, every public servant, that at some point you've gotten to that point where you've tested our patience, and sometimes things like this have to happen in order to enact some kind of change. And if you think that you are a council member in Bellevue or Renton and Puyallup or Olympia and Tacoma or Bellingham and Spokane, if you think that you're going to be immune from this kind of stuff, think again. This can happen and probably will start to happen. People are going to feel empowered to pull stunts like this. Again, a stunt I don't necessarily like, but a stunt I'm going to get behind because maybe, just maybe, it will mean for once you actually start to listen to the people who are literally begging you for help. At the bottom of this hour, we're going to talk with Erin Demon. She's a community activist. She is an advocate in the International District in Seattle. And she's been begging the city to do something about a homeless heroin den near a spot where kids and grandparents walk by every single day, and she's not getting any response. And this is not someone who's some hardcore conservative who hates socialists in Seattle. This is a progressive activist who cares deeply about the people who are living out on the street, and she wants the suffering to stop. She wants the law to be applied. Lisa Herbold is someone who has gotten in the way time and time and time again of the Seattle police and the navigation team trying to clean up these encampments. She has purposely tried to slow it down. I had a report on that about 2 months ago at KTTH.com if you want to read it. Lisa Herbold is a huge part of the problem. She is up for re-election. She is an incumbent. She's running up against Phil Tavel. Phil Tavel on the issue of homelessness, virtually on every single issue, even if he's not a conservative, he's more along with us and reasonable Seattleites than he is with the activist class. The people who are professional activists who want to keep people living out on the streets because it gives them something to pretend to be compassionate about. This is a meaningful day in Seattle city politics. And it's going to inspire a whole bunch of folks to commit similar acts. Because at some point when you beg and you've begged and you've begged again and you're not being heard, you're not being listened to, you're not being interacted with, stunts like this happen. And it's not just in Seattle. People are commenting, Peyton, that I gesticulate a lot on the webcam. They see me moving my hands a lot. That's how I talk.
That is how everyone in radio talks, because, you know, we can't be seen. So you throw your hands around.
Well, now you're doing
a lot
of extra hand work right now.
You just, yeah. But it just comes natural.
It does, because you're performing in a way into a microphone. I can't see anybody, but you can see me if you text the keyword video to 1-800-465-8770. Text the keyword video to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a text with the link to the video feed on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRants. Go there now, hit the follow button, and you will see wonderful tweets, the kind of tweets that President Donald Trump retweets. We're going to get into that later on in the show, but let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
Kids are dying on the streets in King County. Kids are overdosing on the streets of Washington State, because we have rather permissive drug policies, at least in the King County area, also in the Snohomish County area, but at least in Snohomish County, their prosecutor, Adam Cornell, he's trying to change things. In fact, he just took a major step, a step closer to ditching this dangerous policy, allowing people to carry up to 2 grams of an illegal substance without the fear of being charged. You see, in King County, if you talk to certain cops, for the most part, you're not charging people who have drugs unless it is very, very, very apparent that they've got so much product on them that they're drug dealers. But for the most part, if you're caught with heroin or meth or oxycodone that maybe is laced with fentanyl, which will kill a lot of people, you're not really going to be charged. That was the case in Snohomish County, but Adam Cornell decided, you know what, this is not serving us. He understands that in his community, it is having the unintended consequence of leading to more drug overdoses, to leading to drug dealers who have now evolved along with the policies, is just simply holding less product on them and then just continuously updating their supply, selling it to kids, to addicts who are living it on the street, and it's not helping people. So yesterday, during the show, he spoke with their council in Snohomish County, the Snohomish County Council. And he's trying to get a bigger budget to better staff his office so we can actually help get people off of the streets. He spoke with Como TV.
I am more optimistic now than I have been in a while. I'm not going to be able to responsibly reverse this policy unless I get more staff. So I have some work to do to try to be able to answer those questions.
Now, he does have to answer those questions. He does. He needs to answer those questions because the question is, well, what are you going to do with the money? What programs are you going to fund? How would giving you this money and this extra staff member actually deal with this policy? And those are questions that are coming from the Snohomish County Council, and they're trying to figure out a way to get rid of this policy in a efficient way. Now, I don't know why he feels he needs to have more money. We're going to talk with Nate Nearing tomorrow on the show. He's a Snohomish County Council member who's been really leading the way in pushing reasonable policies to help get people into treatment and not to continue them down the road of their addiction that will end up killing them. But Adam Cornell is doing the right thing because it's a dangerous policy that is creating a drug culture without fear of consequences. And as a result, not only are we getting more people selling openly without any fear, we've got a lot of people purchasing drugs illegally without any fear of consequences. And as a result of that, you've got kids now, 4 in recent weeks, dying of overdose. This is one step closer to stopping that. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Weatherpocalypse-mageddon.
People woke up this morning, myself included, wondering why it got so cold all of a sudden, because it was freezing this morning.
Love it.
It was legitimately
Love
freezing.
It.
I am with you in one regard. I don't just like cold, but today, for most of us in Western Washington, not everybody, but it was very cold and the sun was out.
Those are my favorite.
When I have to put on sunglasses and a jacket, I am most happy. But lots of people are especially happy because it's only October. It's October 9th right now, and we're already getting snow in the Cascades, and of course the freezing temperatures along with it.
It was very beautiful. Yeah. It was getting a little deep, though.
Yeah.
A lot of work.
Okay, you don't always have to complain once you're giving a compliment. Just say you like the weather. Oh, it's a little too deep, big baby. Como is reporting that right now, the new season, the snow season, is supposed to start on December 4th, but it might be pushed earlier if we continue to get these kinds of weather days, snowpocalypse-mageddons. And I don't like people in general, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not necessarily friendly. I don't like people, and I don't even necessarily like people who are in a position of just feeling really, really happy. And yet, I have to say, when I saw and heard this family that Como spoke to, a Vietnamese family, never seen snow before, get so excited at their first sight, I was like, oh, this almost, it didn't bring a smile to my face because, again, I'm not a nice person, but I almost had a smirk.
Oh, this, my aunt, she come from Vietnam the first time she sees snow, so she's so excited about that.
She's never seen snow?
Yeah, because in the Vietnam, it's very hot, never has snow, and the first time she come here to see snow. Yeah, that's why she's so excited, and she's so beautiful. Yeah. That's
yeah.
why they're so happy.
I mean, okay, that's pretty. What is on my face right now?
Almost a smile.
Right? I mean, and that's about as happy as I'm capable of getting.
Yeah.
That's just such a cool audio.
You are peak happy Jason right now.
Right? I agree. People can see me half smile on the video feed that's live in the studio right now. I'm trying to get, my goal all week is to just get 50 people in that video at once. We've hit that goal every single day. You've only got 5 more minutes to hit that goal. Text the keyword video to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on the campaign trail?
So Facebook has rejected a request from the Joe Biden campaign to remove an ad that was put up by the president's reelection campaign that said Biden used his White House position to benefit his son and the work that he did in the Ukraine. This is a campaign trying to pressure a private company into censoring content that they do not like. This is staggering. This is frightening. This is something that we should be talking more about. But of course, folks in the media who generally agree with the position that Biden is taking, they don't really want to talk about it. Now, what's interesting in all of this is the Biden campaign is saying that the claims are ridiculous. In fact, they call it unacceptable that Facebook has opted not to pull down the ad. They claim, quote, it's objectively false information to influence public opinion, poisoning the public discourse and chipping away at our democracy. You know what's the best way to combat speech you don't like? To combat speech that you think is not a good faith argument or reasonable and decent analysis? More speech. Not less speech, more speech. But the fact of the matter is, they don't want us to have this conversation. You don't think the son of a vice president in charge at the time in an administration looking into Ukrainian corruption, you don't think that played any role in a job being given to that vice president's son when he had no experience whatsoever in the role he ended up taking? Not even just a little bit. It seems like a valid criticism to certainly just say a conflict of interest. The Biden team knows that this is a problem. They absolutely know it's a problem, which is why Simone Sanders, spokesperson for the Biden campaign, won't answer any questions about it. They're deflecting. They're turning this into an attack on Donald Trump. Here she is on CNN.
We're not going to play Donald Trump's game here. The allegations, which are, frankly, they're not allegations, they're smears and lies that the Trump campaign, President Trump, and his henchman, Rudy Giuliani, have said about Vice President Biden and his son and his family are lies.
They're lies, which is why we're not going to respond to any reasonable questions about them that would prove that they're lies. Oh, okay.
Smears, and they're unfounded, and they have been debunked. So Vice President Biden is, I mean, I think understandably frustrated when folks in the media, people across the country in the media, are asking questions about how Donald Trump's breach of his oath of office reflects badly on Joe Biden.
Just real quickly. You guys don't seem upset when you put out flat out lies and smears against the president and other Republicans, and then folks over at CNN end up picking up those talking points and then asking folks like the henchman in Rudy Giuliani or anybody else who's representing the administration. You don't seem perturbed at all when that happens. And yet suddenly when it's happening to you, you're outraged. You refuse to answer questions, and shame on any media outlet that doesn't push and say, you know what? I get your point, but it is important that you actually answer this question. 1-800-465-8770. If you want to join the conversation, send me a text on the NumBetter Tax Resolution Hotline. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to my latest story all about the fentanyl crisis that is claiming way too many lives, including the lives of young teenagers. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770, KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. If you take a walk around many Seattle neighborhoods, you quickly see the impact homelessness and the opioid epidemic is having on our communities. The International District in particular has been dealing with some significant issues, including a dangerous homeless encampment dealing drugs near the Yesler Stair Climb. Erin Demon is a community health and safety advocate. She has been calling attention to this issue, but it doesn't seem like the city has been very receptive. But we are. Joining me on the line is Erin Demon. Erin, thank you so much for coming on.
Hi, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely.
Thanks for giving us a voice.
Well, take us through exactly what's been going on in your community.
It's an ongoing cycle. It's been happening for over a decade. We have records of it happening all the way back to 2004, 2005. There's the proximity to the jungle really makes us vulnerable to the drug traffic and the crime. Now, I don't want to misidentify all of those who are seeking shelter. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's amazing people out there. We're trained in outreach, and we meet folks every day who are down on their luck or born into poverty, and they all deserve, like, universal human rights and equity and kindness, fresh water. But within that population, there's also, obviously a lot of crime, a lot of drug traffic. The opioid epidemic is in our face every single day. We do have a large encampment that's actually grown in size by, probably 25 people, within, wow, 150 yards from our front door. And we just want to be more empowered to do the right thing and to make a difference for the community in terms of health and safety. And we want to work with the city. There's the city navigation team, and they're, mm-hmm, full of heroes who commit to outreach. We appreciate them so much. But I want to come up with some more sustainable solutions and paths of logic for residents in the Seattle area who are dealing with,
yeah,
these encampments and drug traffic.
And you make the point that not everybody living out on the street is a bad person. These are people who, in a lot of ways, are in desperate need of some help. And the unfortunate reality of the situation is, regardless of how much we're willing to provide the outreach and do some of the cleanups, it doesn't seem like the problem's getting any better. How has your community, your neighborhood, been impacted by this particular encampment?
Oh, well, we have to deal with biohazard, human waste, toxic dumping every day. If I talk to the workers out on the Yesler stairs, they report 25 to 30 needle pickups just on that 10 flight of stairs every single day. And there have been residential attacks. We've had to break up fights. We have to revive people with Narcan who don't have any vital signs. It affects our daily living dramatically on a weekly basis.
And what sort of throws me and makes me even more upset and angry is that in this particular area, when we're talking about the Yesler Stair Climb, lots of kids go by that. Lots of grandparents walk by that.
Oh, sure. It's the Seattle Housing Authority project right there, the proximity to all of these people who are coming back from a vulnerable stage and wanting that safety net and the health and the safety of their community is totally vital to them. And when we're watching this level of crime and, often violence involved with incidences at this encampment, and there's kids present, it's heartbreaking. And, the International District is such a gem of the Seattle, mm-hmm, community. You would think that there would be more protection here And it's not to point the finger at anybody, because I know the city is working hard, and I know that the SPD West Precinct is working really hard. Our territory changed jurisdiction from East Precinct to West Precinct last year, and that made a huge difference for us. So now, like, the downtown SPD has a really fast response and more of a presence. But, I think that it's more of a judicial process that needs, mm-hmm, correcting, because they feel like their hands are tied.
Yeah.
They
we,
know
we talk
that
to
these
cops.
People are doing drugs.
Exactly. We talk to cops on the show all the time, and they say the same exact thing. They so desperately want to be able to help, but their hands are being tied by, you know, policies, whether we're talking about policies coming from the Seattle City Attorney, Pete Holmes, where he's unwilling to, you know, process, charge a lot of these crimes, or from council members who, frankly, don't want the navigation team to do the work that they're doing, and it's impacting neighborhoods like yours. And by the way, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Erin Demon. She's a community health and safety advocate. She is calling attention to a growing problem within the International District, particularly by the Yesler stair climb, of an encampment that is dealing drugs, that is putting out human waste in the area, and it's impacting everybody there. And I'm curious from your perspective, Erin, because I know you've reached out to the council and the mayor's office. What's the response been?
Well, a lot of it is logistics. Logistics of who owns that property. Is it public property or is it private property? Because, you know, the way they deal with it is pretty much the same. The navigation team comes in and they attempt to clear the area, and they offer outreach and resources for anybody who's without shelter, without food, and often rehabilitation services for people who are, you know, obviously addicted to drugs. So, and that's an offer. They cannot make these people accept services. What I feel would make a big difference is that if our judicial system decided to hold people accountable for crimes they're committing, and offer deferred sentencing, mandatory rehab, so they are actually, you know, healed within the system instead of being
totally
turned around and just put back out on the street to do more drugs. So,
Erin, on that point, I just want to interject one thing, because what makes me so incredibly mad is a position that you just took, which is incredibly reasonable and compassionate, but in some circles within progressive Seattle, you're deemed someone who's bad and evil and lacks compassion because you're trying to criminalize the homeless. What's your response to that?
There's the homeless, quote unquote homeless, is too broad of a category to label what Seattle is experiencing. I am 100% a humanitarian and believe everybody deserves, you know, universal human rights and shelter and food, all of that. However, when people are openly dealing drugs and, you know, profitably occupying territory illegally and, you know, damaging the community environment, that's when I feel like, why is it when I park in a parking spot for 15 minutes over my time limit, I have a $50 ticket on my car, but they can deal drugs in the encampment bushes for, what, years?
Yeah. So what do you think the answer is to that? But what do you think the answer is to that? Because you and I, probably politically, we disagree. I'm a conservative, you sound like a progressive, and yet we look at this problem and we have pretty much the same exact solution. And yet we're not getting that kind of sense of urgency coming from the council or from the mayor's office on stuff like this.
Well, absolutely. I think that the problem also is so broad that you don't see the impact of the work that they are doing. I know that they are doing intelligent work. I mean, at least it's come a long way since Mayor Murray swept the jungle with like no plan for the campers and they all came and camped on Jackson Street. But we need to live in an integrity-based society. We need to live in a community where people are held accountable for breaking the law and to do our best to restore justice to the community. So so residents and taxpayers and community advocates aren't stuck with this horrific problem of, you know, having their backyard just become a toxic waste dump.
Last question for you, Erin. How has all of this impacted your view politically of this council or mayor? Are you ready to back different what do you look at when you see some of the incumbents, for example, running?
You know, I'm all for fresh blood in city council. I think that, and I'm not pointing the finger really at city council. They tried to come up with ideas. This is a very, like, it's a new, relatively new problem, so we don't know how to solve the opioid crisis yet, and I can't blame them for not being able to do that. But
I feel like we need some ideas about how to activate the jungle space into an eco-sustainable camping hub that's regulated with garbage recycle. There's this power Watley station that could resolve electricity and connectivity and fresh water. I just really feel like we need to take a giant step in the right direction collectively, not like, you know, one little group asking for grant funding, but like really, really put our minds together and, get some unification on this conversation, whether you're political or not political, just doing the right thing for Seattle. So these people, we as residents can say, hey, here's a safe mm-hmm. place to go and have a good logic board of, you know, where to put these people, where they can receive, you know, the right course of action to take on where to land in this city.
And frankly, you shouldn't have to beg the city for more help in this situation, which is why we wanted to talk to you and again, shine a big spotlight on a problem.
Thanks. I really appreciate it.
It's absolutely ridiculous. We wish you the best of luck. We'll do what we've been doing, which is continue to spotlight these problems, continue to call out inaction or action that just isn't actually working, because we all have the exact same goal, which is to get people in shelter, get people the mental health care that they need, get them the addiction services they need, get them the job training services that they need, because that's how we'll actually fix this. And frankly, it's just not happening at an urgent enough pace. And that's why your community is still suffering from something that should have already been addressed in a more meaningful way. We wish you the absolute best of luck.
Agree.
I wish you the absolute best of luck at all of this. And once, you know, if I will make you this promise, if you finally hear back from the city beyond a maddening conversation about logistics, please let us know so we can shine an even bigger spotlight on it.
Awesome. I sure will. Thank you so much. I really appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. That was Erin Demon. She's, again, a community health and safety advocate. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho. I have to say, I woke up this morning and I thought I was in a lot of trouble. I thought something bad had happened. And when you're just waking up and you feel like you did something wrong, can I tell you, it's very jarring. Very jarring.
What possibly went through your mind that you could have done wrong, though? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. Because I picked up my phone, as I do when I get up, make sure I didn't get any urgent text message or phone call that I missed. And I noticed that I had a little over 10,000 alerts from Twitter.
Rookie numbers.
Yeah. How many followers do you have?
Like 1,000.
Yeah. When you see you got 10,000 plus alerts from Twitter, immediately what goes through your head is, oh my God, what did I do? What happened? Who did I offend? What did I say that got picked up by CNN or MSNBC or the New York Times that's going to get me in trouble? That's immediately, it's kind of like when you see a cop parked in front of your house or your apartment or on the street or coming up behind you while you're driving. You're like, oh my God, what did I just do? You know how you just get nervous and you assume something negative with no reason to, but that's Twitter culture. Because I don't normally get 10,000 plus alerts on my Twitter feed.
Because your Twitter's lame.
Okay. Your glasses are lame. So he's wearing glasses and it's really weird, and we'll post a photo of it later. So I very cautiously check my Twitter feed, and I'm seeing a lot of retweets and likes and comments on a post I made yesterday afternoon, right after the show. So like 6 o'clock, almost on the dot. I sent out a tweet of a Tucker Carlson video that I thought was really good because it called out all the craziness on the left in the nominees for president, or the candidates who are running for the nomination. It got retweeted by Trump.
Nice.
President Trump retweeted me. And I learned something, and it was very odd, because do you remember what we talked about at 3:30 yesterday on the show? For those of you who don't get the podcast, you should. If you miss any part of the show, you can listen back and listen to my brilliance. It's on the podcast. Do you remember what we talked about at 3:30?
Yeah, you talked about good old W and Ellen.
Yes. Why?
Because they were getting along and people were freaking out that they were, even though they have different beliefs, that they were able to get along.
And not just quote-unquote people, right? We're talking about folks on the left. Progressives got really mad that Ellen DeGeneres was hanging out with George W. Bush. They did not think she should hang out with him because he's a war criminal, he's a bigot, he's an awful human being. And I talked about, you know, we like to blame Trump exclusively. The media loves to blame Trump for all the divisiveness in this country, right? His tweets are nasty and mean. He endorses all these kinds of name-calling, and he's the reason why everybody hates each other. And the funny thing is, as I was going through the torrent of tweets, in which I'm still getting, lots of people are retweeting and commenting, and I was reading some of the comments, and there was a dramatically different tone between the folks who are clearly Republican and the folks who are clearly Democrat or progressive. Because on the Republican side, they were reacting, and it wasn't all, you know, nice things. But most people said, you know what, man, I can't believe this is where this country is headed. We don't like the ideas. It was focused on the ideas coming from the Democrats who are running for office. On the other hand, almost without a doubt, the folks on the left who responded were just leveling insult after insult after insult at me, at Tucker Carlson, at President Trump. They didn't actually watch the video that I had posted, but they said horrible, rotten things. And oh, is it ironic that we had that conversation yesterday about how divisive we're coming and it's wrong to exclusively blame Trump when I'm seeing a lot of it coming from the left. And then this happened to just highlight that issue on a more personal level for me. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't hurt me. It didn't make me feel uncomfortable or anxious. Although, again, I've been getting alerts on my phone. I finally just figured out how to turn off the alerts.
Took you that long?
It took me forever to turn these things off.
Don't admit that next time.
But it's just, no one at home knows how to do it either. It was just very revelatory for it to happen to me right after we had that conversation. And boy, are people angry. Boy, are people mean-spirited, especially when they don't have to talk directly to the person or people that they're going after.
You gotta love people who hide behind a computer screen.
What's the worst thing in the world?
Radio hosts?
Well, no, other than that. What's the worst thing in the world?
Twitter?
Yeah.
And then CTAC?
And CTAC. Twitter's the worst, though. But you should follow me on Twitter. Text the keyword Twitter to 1-800-465-8770 and see all the tweets that Donald Trump will retweet.